and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Friday, September 13, 2024. Lawmakers in Eastern Equatorial State disagree over financial transparency.
Yeah, when we look at the number that voted, there are 27, and we who are inside, who are against that passing of the report, we are 5. We have the present member, 64. That means a half of the members were outside.
And some South Sudanese Americans say they are following U.S. elections.
In January, this is where I registered and then received my mail-in ballot, and then I will be able to fill it and send it back to the U.S. When the voting is open for people outside, the U.S. will be able to vote, and then they will be mailing with the help of the U.S. Embassy.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some lawmakers in the Eastern Equatorial State Legislative Assembly say the report of the State Ministry of Finance for fiscal year 2022-2023 had some loopholes. The MPs say the report needs vigorous review as the Assembly prepares the budget for the fiscal year 2023-2024. For VOA News, Kaltuma Vanessa reports from Torit.
Members of the Eastern Equatorial State Legislative Assembly could not agree on the proposal to review how money was allocated in the 2022-2023 budget report. Some lawmakers who walked out during a debate session on the budget report say the State Minister of Finance should answer questions on how money in the 2022-2023 budget was spent. Vitali Ofire Raphael, Chief Whip of the Sudan People Liberation Movement in Opposition, or SPLMIO, in the State Legislative Assembly, says line items in the minister's report do not match budget allocated for fiscal year 2022-2023, and lawmakers need to understand why.
The Ministry of Road and Bridges, that gets 156 million. But during the presentation, we found that the Minister of Finance said the Ministry of Road and Bridges has been given 1.9 billion, a lot of money, which never happened. Even the ministry did not receive even 100 million. We are responsible for scrutinizing the budget until we allocate to the ministries. So we have the copies of that budget for fiscal year 2022-23. We come and realize that the salaries to the civil servants, the differences were not given. These civil servants, the workforce is supposed to be paid the difference, which never happened. But they are in the column of salaries. They calculated times 12 months.
Taban Oliver William is the chief whip of a group called the Other Political Parties. William, who represents Magui County in the State Assembly, is urging members to check the financial report before signing off to avoid more accounting errors.
There are people who are not contented with what the members inside wanted to do. That's why I voted not pro the passing of the report. To me, there is no dead budget, because once you are bringing to the House a report, that is a live report. Passing it means you have accepted all the mistakes inside the budget. Yeah, when we look at the number that voted, there are 27, and we who are inside, who are against that passing of the report, we are 5. We have the present member, 64. That means a half of the members were outside. So they move out, because it is not really to our expectation that motion will be raised without the minister responding to the question raised to him.
Margaret Ito, chief whip of the ruling Sudan People Liberation Movement party loyal to President Salva Kiir in the assembly, declined to comment on the standoff over the budget report debate. Peter Lokujulo Terimoy, the state minister of finance, says his office has no obligation to call spending agencies to collect funds allocated to them in the state budget.
After the allocation of the budget, they always can write to the Ministry of Finance. Ministry of Finance had to release that amount. Went through the ministry, none again the business of Ministry of Finance. It is direct their responsibility. If there is anything checking and balance, it is audit chamber that want to go to check how this money use it. As the Ministry of Finance, I cannot call somebody to come, you take your money. You have to write, demand, request, then you can be given.
The Minister of Finance says the presentation of the fiscal year 2022-2023 budget report was delayed because members of the assembly went for a lengthy recess and the parliament building was under renovation. Lawmakers from the SPLM party overruled the proposal to review spending in the 2022-2023 budget. For VOA News, I'm Kaltuma Vanessa, reporting from Eastern Equatorial Capital, Torit.
From Torit, we move to Juba, where the U.S. presidential election is influencing South Sudanese Americans living in the town, with some expressing mixed views on their participation in the elections. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Nathaniel Cholnyok, a South Sudanese American citizen living in Juba, says he spends time following political events in the United States. Chol left the U.S. 4 years ago to start a business in South Sudan. He says he doesn't see any challenges that could prevent him from voting in the U.S. November elections.
In January, this is where I registered, and then received my mail-in ballot, and then I will be able to fill it and send it back to the U.S. When the voting is open for people outside the U.S. will be able to vote, and then they will be mail-in with the help of the U.S. Embassy.
After questions about his age and mental acuity, Democrat U.S. President Joe Biden passed the torch to his Vice President Kamala Harris, who is facing former President Donald Trump, the Republican presidential nominee. John Samuel, another South Sudanese American who left the U.S. last November from the state of Texas, says the distance has had an impact on his participation in the U.S. elections.
Just being far away, you're not able to keep up with a lot of the things that happen. And another thing a lot of people have to realize is elections in the United States, you have the presidential, but you also have state governor's elections, state senators' elections, national U.S. senators, and congressmen, which means that I don't know the local dynamics and the local politics of that place. So that's been the biggest challenge. And then also just the day-to-day things, the time zone changes.
Joel says two key issues are important in the U.S. presidential race.
One, South Sudanese Americans, like any other citizens, vote for a president and a government that promote a stable economy, where fuel prices, commodity prices, and home prices can stay low and stable. Also, the identity issue and the racial equality issue for everyone in America is important, because everyone wants to be valued and respected.
As Scholl and Samuel are connected to the U.S. politics, some other South Sudanese Americans, like Deng Ajak, say he's not able to follow events in the United States.
I have challenges of not even watching the news for some time. We have challenges of internet. You need to use to buy the internet, and it is too expensive here. I don't have enough funds for me to run the situation that I'm in. So I'm not thinking of buying internet always.
Both Trump and Harris are busy hitting the campaign trail in key battle states after Thursday night's presidential debate, with just 52 days before the elections. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
Still on issues to do with the elections, more young men and women are concerned about leadership styles in Africa and how it limits chances of fresh blood becoming the change they aspire for. Some of the youth in Africa say they will support leaders who have an agenda for transforming the continent into a vibrant market for young leaders to tap into their potentials. Reporter Manyang David Mayar spoke to some non-South Sudanese men and women on the streets of Juba to understand their feelings.
My name is J. Jack Tsime.
We have a trade deficit, so Africans should focus on trading with USA. We need to ensure that we trade with USA very well, and we ensure that leaders should focus on value addition and stop selling raw materials. Then on the issue of strategic security, the USA can help our leaders to share intelligence information and also help in trainings and financing to combat terrorism.
My name is Sholmut. Africa does need to improve the relationship with U.S., especially in democratic system, because that is what is always making the relation between African countries and U.S. difficult. African leaders used to be dictators, and they are always being put under pressure by U.S. and other countries. That is my views on how African leaders can improve their relation with U.S. and other countries.
This is Terma Nyang, and my expectation from future African leadership addressing the U.S.-African relation is that I think the Africans, they need to understand their interests, you know, when they come to on the global issues, especially African Union as a continental organization. Also, the African leaders, they need to strengthen their institution, especially the judiciary systems, in terms of protection and rule of law, in terms of promotion of human rights in Africa. Because one of the core value of the global advocacy is promotion of human rights.
My name is Lynette Turiakayo. I think, first of all, the United States should be able to give African presidents or African leaders a chance to be able to speak up and give their opinions, because most of the times our opinions are brought on the table and they're suppressed. Human beings, we prefer to engage with one another, so if they have more organized, more workshops, more conversations, I think they can develop relations.
My name is Malak Philip Scholl. Strengthening democracy in Africa, rule of law, and you know, supporting the young people aspiration for development, I think Africa will be great. And by doing that, you know, supporting young people so that at least they become, you know, agents of change in their countries, Africa cannot make it alone without the support of other countries like United States of America.
My name is Ruth Cynthia. What the African leaders should do, first of all, to build a strong relationship by showing their trust in their activities, and then try to allocate their resources into rightful hands of people, and always to be transparent in all their activities. I think that can build the relationship between the African leaders and then the U.S.
My name is Majur Chalkor. In my opinion, the future African leadership should prioritize several key expectations in addressing U.S.-African relations. African leaders need to foster transparency and mutual understanding. Lack of transparency in Africa is one of the diseases that is affecting African development, and also addressing common concerns or common challenges of conflicts and economic development and integration as well.
My name is Faith. From what I see is that other leaders have their values, African leaders have their values, so they should all accommodate each other. For example, America, they have their values and they want Africans to believe in them. African leaders, then also American leaders or Asian leaders should also believe in the values of African leaders. So for me, that is what I would think.
Those are voices of South Sudanese and non-South Sudanese reacting or expressing their views about the type of leadership they want from the continent in terms of interacting with the rest of the world. Manyang David Mayar collected those voices from the streets of Juba. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Pope Francis wraps up his visit to Asia. Find out more after the break. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The U.S. presidential race between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump remains tight, but Harris has opened a sizable lead over Trump among one group of voters, women, who vote at higher rates than men. As VOA's Dora McCoy reports, Harris' late entry into the race widened the political party's gender gap.
Since 1984, more women than men have voted in U.S. presidential elections. And, for the most part, more of them vote for Democrats than vote for Republicans. Vice President Kamala Harris's sudden entry into the race, following President Joe Biden's July withdrawal, appears to have fired up this voting bloc. Erin Covey is with the Cook Political Report.
We have seen a pretty significant shift across a lot of different demographics, but with women in particular, who are now much more likely to vote for the Democrat at the top of the ticket than they were when it was Biden.
This election year, roughly 1 in 5 women say abortion rights is their key issue. In 2022, Supreme Court justices nominated by then-President Donald Trump helped eliminate constitutional rights to an abortion. Trump wants each state to decide abortion laws. Harris wants federal legislation to protect reproductive freedom nationwide. That is why these voters say they're backing Harris.
She's trying to create a world where people all have their rights to their own decisions, their bodies, their choices, women's rights.
She's for the people, which is the middle class, which I am middle class, and the laws about women's rights.
Among female voters, the latest poll suggests that Harris leads Trump by anywhere from 9 to 13 points. Paul Maslin is a pollster with FM3, a public opinion research firm.
She gained a lot of younger women who independents, nonpartisan voters under the age of 50, many of them under 40, who really got excited by her candidacy.
Here's Erin Covey.
Black women are a lot more likely to vote for Harris now, Hispanic women. So, you know, as we have seen her do better with a lot of these specific racial demographics or educational demographics, we have seen with women that is really where that shift is coming from.
Male voters favor Trump by anywhere from 5 to 9 points, depending on the poll. These Trump supporters are from Georgia and Montana.
First, her being the candidate, this is like horrific to me because, first of all, she's not prepared to be president.
For months, we would barely ever see Joe Biden, and all of a sudden, Kamala Harris is the nominee for the Democratic Party when she was never nominated in the first place. She came out of nowhere.
The gender gap persists among younger voters in Gen Z, where a majority of men under the age of 27 favor Trump, according to pollster David McLennan of Meredith College.
There has been an increase in terms of the admiration of some Gen Z young men for, you know, swagger. It's very much a macho punch him in the face kind of thing.
McLennan says young men are politically socialized by online sources, where they often see and hear unflattering opinions about female leaders.
So they believe that women can't make the tough decisions. If the United States were to go to war or face international crisis, they don't believe that women have the ability to make the tough call.
White women were key to Trump's victory in 2016. He also won a majority of white women in 2020. In this race, the latest polls show Harris and Trump statistically tied among white women. Dora McCoy, VOA News, Washington.
From politics, we move to matters to do with religion. Pope Francis is in Singapore for the final leg of his tour of Asia and Oceania. It has been the longest and farthest trip of his tenure, taking in 4 countries and covering more than 30,000 kilometers. He has delivered a message of interfaith harmony throughout, and as Adam Hancock has been finding out, that theme will be prominent during his stay in the Southeast Asian financial hub.
Pope Francis is ending his Asia-Pacific tour as he started it, by visiting a country where Catholics are a minority. Singapore's just under 400,000 Catholics make up less than 10% of its population. The many Filipinos who live and work in the city-state are big contributors to Catholicism in the country. Sharon Nicholas is one of them. She runs a salon in the centre of Singapore.
We all excited to seeing Pope, because not everyone there's a chance to seeing Pope, but we are trying to be blessed by Pope.
Nicholas has lived in Singapore for over 18 years, setting up a business in one of the world's most religiously diverse countries.
In our shops, actually, we are all different race, like not only Chinese, Muslims. So when we gathering to each other, for us, it's only like one religion in one race.
Religious harmony has been a recurring theme on this tour. On the first leg in Indonesia, Francis visited Southeast Asia's largest mosque, signing a joint declaration with Grand Imam Nazaruddin Umar, calling for religious tolerance and an end to extremism. That theme will continue in Singapore when young people from different faiths are set to meet the Pope.
When I first got the news, I didn't believe it. I just couldn't fathom that as a Hindu youth I had been chosen.
Raj will share the stage with the Pope Friday and hopes to tell him about the religious harmony that is a bedrock of Singaporean society.
In Singapore, we should continue to honour each other and bring our communities together through dialogue, through engagements, through shared experiences.
Francis also wanted to shine a light on the struggles facing people in remote places. In Papua New Guinea, he delivered medical supplies to a tiny township deep in the jungle. He also called for an end to the tribal violence that has killed dozens in recent months. The penultimate stop on this trip was a visit to deeply Catholic East Timor. Over 500,000 people attended a mass in the capital, Dili, nearly half the population. But there was a darker side to this leg of the tour, with the Vatican facing questions over a sexual abuse scandal involving a prominent bishop previously based in the country. Francis only made a veiled reference to the case during his stay.
There is a need to recognize a victim at a local level and to help them to move forward. So this cancer of sex abuse is a collective duty.
The 87-year-old Pope will return to Rome after nearly 2 weeks away, bringing to an end a grueling tour that has been his longest ever. 12 days on the road, with hope from the Vatican, the tour will have a much longer-lasting impact on harmony between religions. Adam Hancock, VOA News, Singapore.
And it's that time we get to listen to your feedback on what is good on this program and what is not good. We start with this listener who recorded himself and sent the audio to us.
Hello, VOA. My name is Akol Ajit Michael in Juba. I'm actually impressed by the speech of Honorable Nomngek. Honorable Nomngek is an MP from Chwebet, and he's actually from SPLM-IO. I've been following his speeches, the way he speaks. He speaks fearlessly about the pressing issues that are affecting us in South Sudan. And I admire him for that. You know, that is what it means to be an honorable member of parliament. If we had 10 of them in that parliament, our parliament would have changed. You know, Nomngek has made South Sudanese proud. We are happy to have an MP like him. Bravo to you, honorable member of parliament. Thank you.
Samuel Remo in Yei writes, Hi, VOA South Sudan in Focus. It was a bold decision made by African Union to emphasize on implementation of the provisions of outstanding issues in the revitalized peace agreement in 2013 crisis. But according to my observation, our legislators are unable to bring everlasting peace to the country, which shall lead us for elections to elect our right representatives to direct us. Andrew Masonic from Yambia, Western Equatorial State writes, I urge our government of South Sudan to learn from Ibrahim Traore of Burkina Faso, When he came to power, the first thing he did was to invest in agricultural production in order to change the economy of the country and make his citizens enjoy the fruits of the country. In other words, free market policy in South Sudan cannot help our economy to grow because traders are allowed to put the prices they want. Thorn Mamor Makwep in Juba writes, "Dear John Tanza, let the South Sudan parties to the peace agreement not get ashamed of another extension. The last one was named Roadmap, so let them come with another name. For the people of South Sudan, the only hope is in God." Peter Goch Anyang Mayongdul in Kampala, Uganda writes, "Giving fishing gears to fight food insecurity in Jonglei and other flood-affected states is the best option. However, the government should also look into long-term planning to avoid occurrence of displacement due to flood in the country." James Roy Majok from Unity State Bantu writes, "Hi, John Tanza and Nabil Biajo. I'm calling on traders across the country to reduce prices of commodities as the U.S. dollar rates are dropping down since our president Salva Kiir returned back from China with a lot of money." Mal Adaumal in Washington, Seattle writes, "Hello, VOA. It's quite hard to comprehend whether it's government or national security running the affairs of South Sudan. Security apparatus should instead be mitigating crimes within the locals and not stories on newspapers as people are being shot dead by so-called unknown gunmen. This is what a civilized and trained security agents should look into. Thank you," he writes. A listener who calls himself Papa Allison from Yambia writes, "Hello, VOA. The issue of flooding in some parts of Western Equatorial State is contributing to the rising prices of local food items in the market because the roads that link farmers to markets are all blocked by water. If nothing is done about this issue of flooding, life will continue to be hard for local communities." Doboy Manasi from Mvolo County writes, "Democracy is the only good medicine for changes and peaceful transfer of power. I don't know why South Sudanese are fearing from the coming elections in 2024. For me, I'm ready to contest, even for presidency, if my party nominates me to do so." Chan Malual Aluang in Kowach Payam of Jonglei State writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. The economic crisis in South Sudan has changed from bad to worst due to fluctuation of prices of food commodities in the market and flooding that have affected the whole country, leaving ordinary citizens without bringing food on the table. We call upon the government to intervene. Views expressed in this segment do not represent the views of the management of the Voice of America or the South Sudan in Focus program. Send your brief text and voice messages to +1 202 630 8011 and we shall sample some of your messages every Friday." That's all we had on our menu for you this Friday, September 13, 2024. We now leave you with the song Akolo Barao. In English, it means "someone who eats behind closed doors" by Emmanuel Kembe. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Peter Heinle, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Ketiru waduru fiterik lehia ashana gala alela nina jua ulondo jilisa gina kabadu nina alela nina jua fi medina fi mahalu mahia ulondo jilisa gina kabadu nina man.
zaman, kipi upe dinar.